Good evening, my friends. Actually, Mary Oliver said the whole lesson tonight in her last line of her poem. Joy is not meant to be a crumb. Joy is not meant to be a crumb. Interesting. So, in our earlier two lessons, we've been introduced to really a very important part of the Buddhist teachings. Jack called it the mind states that are healing. They're Buddha psychology. They're healing. They're more than just words. And so what they do is they connect. They help us to connect to what is. You know, what is an openness. Connect to the heart where the heart is open to it all. And free from greed, hatred, and ignorance or delusion. Now, we hear that a lot in this teachings, greed, hatred, and ignorance. And it's a big umbrella when I say that, but we experience, I mean, when I heard it, greed, hatred, and ignorance, I was thinking, oh, okay. You know, those are big things. Those are big things we're waiting for. But no, greed, hatred, and ignorance are under a big umbrella. And we experience a range of greed, hatred, and ignorance every day with our own separate greed. As greed, it can be simply not wanting what we don't have. How often does that happen in a day? Hatred can be as small as a judgment. Ignorance can be any time we identify with anything that can arise from our six senses. So they're there. Not in the big way, but there are ranges in our life all day long. If we set an intention to notice, because as the Buddha says, they set us free when we understand what to do with greed, hatred, and delusion, or ignorance. So, Jack called these radiant abodes, and you'll hear them in the teachings, as Brahma Viharas. And again, these are part of Buddhist psychology. These are healing. The loving kindness with the near enemy being attachment. And we've talked about the difference. Now, we live with both loving kindness and attachment because we're living in a dualistic existence. So we're not trying to get rid of attachment. We're trying to understand its true nature and how to relate to it where it does not cause us more suffering. Then we have the compassion. We talked about that. The near enemy is pity. And this is when we don't connect. When we feel separate, alienated. And then sympathetic joy, and we're going to talk more about that tonight, jealousy. Now, we feel jealousy. But what we want to do is set an intention to notice it. And then hearing, equanimity. I left equanimity out. That was the last one. Indifference. And again, we will experience indifference as well as equanimity. And how we experience these wonderful phenomena is important to how much joy we can have in this lifetime. So tonight, sympathetic joy, we'll discuss it. Hearing about others' success. And we might think, I've thought it, well, how come you get all this happiness? How about me? And that's the conditioned mind, the separate mind that we all have. It's there. It's to be reckoned with, and it's to be known. So how about me? All your happiness? We sometimes react as though good fortune was a limited commodity. If you have more, then maybe I have less. So the more someone else has, it doesn't mean we're going to have less. So as we watch someone else enjoy a stockpile of joy, sometimes our hearts sink. And I want to know when that happens. Not to judge myself or not to blame myself, but to know what has arisen in this mind and body. And the dialogue that comes with that, we're not going to get our share. So our practice helps us to see how we are relating to the joys of others. So, if our practice helps us to see how we are relating to the joys of others, we are the others. So the others happen to be us. But the truth of the wrong view is glaring. Someone else's pleasure doesn't cause our unhappiness. We make ourselves unhappy because our negativity isolates us. Our mind states pulls us down to suffering and an alternative to feeling painfully cut off all alone on our little island of resentment is to develop what's known in Buddhist teaching as sympathetic joy. Rejoicing in the happiness of others. And sympathetic joy is an unusual term because sympathy commonly means feeling bad for people when things go wrong for them. But mudita, which is the Pali word for sympathetic joy, is joy, stands for joy. So learning to share the joy of others transforms our thinking about where we can find happiness, and usually we enjoy in what we get, not in what others have. But sympathetic joy is a practice of generosity, and giving isn't just about doing someone a favor. It also makes us feel better. One doorway to sympathetic joy, of course, is compassion. And life is so fragile, you know, with its volcanic shifts from pleasure to pain, from ease to difficult confrontations, from getting what we want to watching what we just got begin to fade away. So we go up and down, all of us, all the time. Vulnerability in the face of constant change is what we really share, whatever our present condition. So if we remember that even people who have more than us suffer, again we connect. Seeing the bigger picture not only enables us to view the other person in a new way, it also allows us to appreciate the joy in our own life. So as our perspective shifts, we let go of old assumptions about someone. Then a person doesn't seem so alien. And we can feel a genuine connection each time a person has joy. So what can we gain from such a shift? Well, the bindings of envy are loosened to our profound relief. And we feel joy for others and joy for good things in others' life. So instead of seeing someone else's happiness as a threat to our own, it actually becomes our own. In our everyday life, we can cultivate mudita by just becoming aware of the times when we feel jealous about someone else's good fortune or happiness. And this is not meant to be a practice that makes you feel guilty or ashamed. What happens is we begin to notice all of it. Instead, awareness is the first step to changing the way the mind is habituated. So we're not our minds, but we're responsible for our minds. And there's research to prove that joy boosts our immune system. It makes us healthier. We can live longer. So how can we invite more joy into our lives? Well, it's important to remember that we cannot make ourselves feel joy. But joy does arise in all of us via certain causes and conditions. But we can, however, set the intention to be more open to joy. Setting intentions are like planting seeds. Didn't happen all at once, but there is a beginning. And you can't fail like you do when you set up goals. And we can cultivate it through repeated and patient practice. And that's what we're all about. We're practicing. And the practice never stops. So, how do we do it? Well, the first thing to do, of course, is to rejoice in our own life. Where are our joys? Are we noticing our joys? Because many times our joys, we go unnoticed, where our sorrows, we just cling to. It's the Teflon event. We are conditioned to skip over our joys, so especially the little ones that come to us on a daily basis, like looking up at the sky or seeing someone we love or getting what we want. And nothing's wrong with getting what we want if we don't attach to it. So our hugging, our sharing, our helping, all can be felt directly into the body. We can recognize it. We can allow it. We investigate how it feels in the body. And then with time, we begin to see directly that it's not us. It's just phenomena. So being in nature is a beautiful way to look at your joys. And there's endless ways that we can open to our joys. And then after experiencing joy for ourselves, we can begin connecting with other people's joy and allowing ourselves to really feel it. And that didn't happen overnight, but that's why it's called a practice. We can even want to use a silent wish or blessing. May you be happy. May you be free from suffering. but you can find your own words. I had a friend come visit me last week or week before last, and she and I went down to the grotto where there's a natural spring, and we meditated. And after the meditation, I always say the four immeasurables, with the first one being, may all beings be happy and have the causes of happiness. Well, she said, I can't ever remember those four. I want to remember them, but I can't. But she says, I do say this. Well, it turned out her phrases were about five times as long as the four, but she could remember them. She didn't miss a beat. So we can find our own words. And recognizing joy in our lives has a huge impact on our own happiness. Daily happiness. It enlivens us. And there's enough to go around. Especially if we embody joys of others. Think of how many joys we can open to. And so again, the Buddha teaches us, once again, how to, within this practice, and within our own minds and bodies, to open to more happiness. Thank you.